I'm not saying that God lets anybody off the hook. Sometimes it seems like he does. But the Bible clearly teaches us that we will reap what we sow. Sooner or later, we will all stand in front of the judgment seat of God, and he will dish out accordingly to everybody's behavior.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is God's vengeance.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking today about God's vengeance. And so we're going to learn exactly what it means when God says that he will repay a person's trespasses against another. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That may be a hard concept to grasp, because when you're being attacked, why would you want to help your enemy out? In the natural world, if you exclude God from your mindset, then it makes no sense to be helping out your enemies. But if your faith is in God, and you believe what he says in his word, and you obey what he says in his word, then you will have victory over the situation, doing it God's way. Now listen, when somebody comes up against you, it doesn't say that we should help them achieve their goal. But if they're hungry or thirsty, if they're in need of something, that has nothing to do with the ordeal against you. In other words, if somebody's suing you, you obviously wouldn't want to pay their lawyer fees. That's not what this is talking about. But let's say your neighbor's suing you, and you see them with a flat tire on the side of the road one day, you don't pass them by laughing at them. No, on the contrary, you stop and you help them with their tire, even if this person is going to be meeting you in court tomorrow or the next day or even that same day. You still help that person out. And the reason why Christians are called to do such things, even when their enemies are involved, is because we are to have unconditional love towards other human beings. You know, Jesus teaches us that if we are only compassionate and loving to those who love us back, then what reward will we get and what reward should we expect? Because of the simple fact that anybody is capable of loving somebody when they think they're going to get something in return. But when you're good to your enemies, you don't expect anything back, except for perhaps more hardship. And so your reward comes from God. God will reward you. And part of that reward is the peace that you get that you did something loving for another human being, for one of God's creations. Now, some people who are listening to this, they probably are in a situation and somebody's coming up against them. And you may be thinking, there's no way. You just don't know what I'm up against or who I'm up against. You have no idea what they're doing to me and in my life right now. Why would I ever help these people? Well, like I said, the scripture is not telling us to help them defeat us. That's not what it's saying. But it is saying that the people who are involved should be compassionately loved when they're in need of it in the areas of their life, such as food and drink and the basic necessities of life. That doesn't mean that you pay their lawyer bills, like I said a while ago, but it does mean that you're compassionate to them. And again, this is sometimes a very hard concept for people to get down into their heart. Because in our society, we're taught that if somebody's coming up against you, you rise up against them. and you do everything in your power to defend yourself. But Christians really do have a powerful advocate on their side, and that's Jesus Christ. That's God Himself. God will help you fight your battles, and when you need to get back at somebody, don't do it. Let it go. Let that hate, that hurt, that pain flow out of your heart with forgiveness. Very important, because if you don't, it will consume you. It will consume you, and it will destroy you. There's this woman I know, and years ago, she caught her husband with another woman. And when she confronted the woman, well, she couldn't get to her because the lady was inside of her house, but she went and started breaking the woman's car, tearing it up, kicking it, smashing it. And the woman who did all the damage to the car, she was arrested. She was charged. She's got a criminal record on her now, and she's paying the bill for the car because she took vengeance into her own hands. And prior to this, she never had a record of any type. She was a law-abiding citizen, but she lost control of herself, and she went after this individual, and instead of waiting on God, she took matters into her own hands, and she caused a big mess for herself. So the scripture is trying to protect us from ourselves, but it's also trying to get the just, deserved vengeance that God has for the individual who has trespassed against you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we think God is really slow in getting anything done. And it may seem that way in our limited understanding, but rest assured, God's timing is the best timing of all because He knows exactly when to do what He's going to do, and He knows exactly what to do for the particular person involved. Now, you might be thinking, I can't wait on God. I got to take care of this right now. This particular person has hurt me, and they deserve to pay. Well, that's not Christ-like. That's not representing Christianity. That's not trusting God. God says that He will repay. And listen what the scripture says. It says, but leave room for God's wrath. See, if we go in and take it upon ourselves to get our own vengeance, we are crowding God out. God's not going to allow somebody to be punished twice for the same crime. He's a just God. So you want to leave total room to let God deal with this person in His way and in His timing. But you, as a Christian, should be coming to God and petitioning that this person that has come up against you, who has come up against you, who has done this wrong to you, is forgiven. Jesus cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's our example. We are to do the same when it comes to our own enemies. We're to ask God to forgive them. And let God decide if vengeance is the course that He should take and not ourselves. Now, vengeance and self-defense are two different things. If somebody's attacking you or breaking into your home or trying to harm you, you're to defend yourself. But if the deed is already done and time has passed, you shouldn't be sitting around contemplating what you could do to this person. Nor should you see an opportunity arise where you could do something harmful back to this person and you take advantage of the opportunity. Shouldn't do that. No. Some people believe that when they get the opportunity to get vengeance on somebody, it was God-given. I don't believe that because God says that vengeance is His. So we want to make sure that we don't get ahead of God and try to deal out our own vengeance because one, we could be getting ourselves into harm, like the lady I told you about who broke the car and had to pay for it. And two, we want to make sure that when the person is dealt with, they're dealt with rightfully so, justfully so, through God. You know, sometimes we think people are getting away with things, and it's just not fair. But we don't look at things the way God looks at things, nor can we comprehend everything that God is capable of comprehending. And if you think about it, you've gotten away with some trespasses in your past. You've gotten away with doing wrong to other people. If you really are truly honest with yourself, maybe you weren't intentional in your actions, but nonetheless, you caused harm to somebody else. You can't live on this planet without affecting somebody sooner or later negatively. We all do harm in some way or another. And we've all gotten away with hurting somebody. So if we want to get away with something because we're sorry for it, then we shouldn't expect any less from another person who also wants to get away with their trespasses. I'm not saying that God lets anybody off the hook. Sometimes it seems like he does. But the Bible clearly teaches us that we will reap what we sow. Sooner or later, we will all stand in front of the judgment seat of God, and he will dish out accordingly to everybody's behavior. I don't know how that's going to work. I have no idea how God is going to deal with murderers and rapists and all of the different people out there who have been forgiven for their sins through Jesus Christ, yet they've committed these atrocities in life. I don't know how God's going to deal with that. I really don't. But I do know that him being a just God, he is going to deal with it appropriately. And we as Christians can only pray for the well-being of our enemies. Sounds strange, sounds contradictive to life, but that's what we're taught. But do be sure that when God decides to act, he will act, and he will do it justly. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." Of course, if you're listening to this, and you've got somebody who's hurt you, you might be thinking, yeah, get him, God. But that really shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be one of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus said, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." See, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart and you're wanting to have somebody paid back for a trespass, that blocks your relationship with God. You can't come to God and ask him to forgive you for your sins when you have animosity towards somebody else. How can you have unforgiveness in your heart and ask God to clear your slate? Is that fair? No, that's not fair. And God sees right through that. So as a Christian, we have to come to God when somebody hurts us, and we have to say, "Lord, I've been hurt. I've been trespassed against." Tell God what the person did. He already knows anyways. Tell him how you feel about it. Tell him how angry and hurt you are. And say, "Lord, I can't let go of this. I'm having a difficult time forgiving this person. I need your Holy Spirit to strengthen me, to guide me, to get me through this. I need your grace, God, because I don't have it in the flesh to overcome this unforgiveness. I need your Holy Spirit to empower me so that I can love this person instead of feeling negative about them. And God, I would pray that you would forgive these people for what they have done. And Lord, if there's anything that I may have caused, whether intentionally or unintentionally, for this to have happened to me by this person, I ask you now to show me the error of my way." Now see, some people listening to this might be thinking, "Are you out of your mind? You want me to pray for my enemy and then pray for myself that I might have had something to do with the way they mistreated me?" It's a possibility. I'm not insinuating that anybody has caused the pain in their heart that they're feeling from another person. But sometimes we have something to do with the way a person has hurt us. Sometimes we do. It's just a fact of life. We're not always 100% innocent when a situation arises and hurt is the outcome. And so we have to come to God and say, "Lord, did I have anything to do with this person's actions against me?" That doesn't excuse the other person for what they did to you. No. But it does help you come in front of God with an open heart and seeking his correction if you did have something to do with it. And that's why that's so important to pray to God. It is so important to come to God and say, "Lord, I can't change this person. And I don't even know what this person needs that hurt me. But if there's something inside of me that had anything to do with this hurt, that caused it in any way or contributed to it in any way, show me, God. Show me now so that I can surrender that to you and you can work on my heart." You know, we can't do anything out of the flesh. That's why we have to ask God for his Holy Spirit's help. That's why we have to have God's Spirit working in us and through us in other people's lives. Because if we don't, the flesh will take over and the flesh will demand its way. And we have to feed the Holy Spirit. We have to be in God's Word. We have to fellowship with other believers. And we have to talk to God on a daily basis. And you know, when it comes to praying, we really have to have time with God. We really have to be talking to Him and we have to be listening to Him. You know, we've received a full pardon from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We don't even have to come to God with a question of whether or not He's going to forgive us. We know it's guaranteed through Jesus Christ when we come to Him and confess our sins. Is it fair that when somebody has hurt you, that you don't forgive them? Now, maybe you're thinking, yeah, but what if they haven't said they were sorry? What if they haven't asked me for that forgiveness? Well, you still have to forgive them because you do not want to be carrying that around. That is too heavy of a load for you to carry around. That load of unforgiveness will weigh you down. It will affect your walk with God. It will affect your prayer time, your Bible reading time, your fellowship time. It will consume you. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's hard to think about anything else. You start dwelling on the hurt. And when your focus gets on something other than God, it consumes everything inside of you. That's why Jesus said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be angry all through the night. Forgive. Let it go. Does that mean you forget? No. But you know, when we don't forgive and we remember, we apply negative emotion to the memory. So it's one thing to forget, but it's a whole other thing to forgive. So if you forgive and you still remember, at least you don't have the negative emotion attached to the memory. You let that go. Now see, this is the amazing thing about God. If you truly trust in His Word and you believe that God means what He says when He says that vengeance is mine, you can forgive that person knowing that God is going to handle it justfully. You don't have to go to bed and start thinking, man, I wonder how God's going to pay them back. Man, God's going to really stick it to them. Oh man, God's going to get them. Oh, He's probably going to take their car away. Oh, He's probably going to take their house away. Oh, He's going to probably do this. Oh, He's going to do that. God's going to get them fired. We shouldn't be thinking that stuff. That's not Christ-like. We should be forgiving those people and asking God for mercy for those people. And did you know that that's why we will end up heaping burning coals on top of our enemies' heads? Now, that's not literal. It's just a figure of speech. It's just a metaphor. It just means that when you're kind to somebody who's hurt you, the conviction of God comes upon that person and they can feel it and they can sense it more clearly because they see the good deeds that you're doing to them, even though they mistreated you. That doesn't mean they're going to stop mistreating you. But if you show them enough Christian love, they are going to realize that you are unmovable in your faith. And you know, I found that irritates people when they can't move you from your place of joy, when they cannot take your joy away. You see, when a person comes up against you with a personal attack, when they do something against you, they might be able to take your happiness away because happiness is found in things. But your joy, that's something from within. And you cannot take a Christian's joy away. If they're standing in God's Word, if they're standing on the truth of Jesus Christ, because then we know that no matter what happens in this lifetime, we have the glorious return of Jesus Christ to take us home to God's kingdom. And that's the true joy that we have, to fellowship with God for all of eternity. And if we focus on that through the trials and the storms of life, guess what? We will get through them a lot easier. Because if you don't focus on Jesus Christ, if you don't spend time with God, guess what? You're going to lose sight of His teachings. You're going to hear the world around you. You're going to listen to advice from the world around you. And you're going to start acting like the world around you. And before you know it, you're going to find yourself seeking vengeance on your enemies. And when you do that, you're going to open up a whole can of worms. And then you're going to be praying, really praying then, that God's going to get you out of the trouble that you got yourself into because you were disobedient. You see, people want to believe the promises in God's Word that speak of prosperity, that speak of wealth, that speak of well-being. But when it comes to something that God says He wants to handle for you, such as vengeance, suddenly we don't want to wait on God's timing. Suddenly we don't trust God to handle it accordingly. In fact, we look around and we see all of the injustice being done around us, and we think to ourselves, yeah, right. Like God's going to take care of this, like He took care of that guy over there or her over there. Nah, I'm not waiting on God. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God takes care of His children. Do you not realize that when you gave your life over to Jesus Christ and He became your Lord and He became your shepherd, do you not realize that you were adopted into the kingdom of God? You are not a peasant outside of the gates begging God. You are of royal blood. Jesus Christ shed His blood for us. And as believers, we are adopted into the family of God, and our God is King. And when we have a problem, we run to Daddy and we tell Him about it. Look, the best thing you can do when somebody comes up against you is tell your daddy on them. When you run to God because of what somebody else is doing or has done to you, God is listening and He is very concerned. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? He protects his sheep. David said that thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Did you know that that staff that a shepherd has is used to fend off the wild critters that would get to those sheep? Now, Jesus has much more in His hands than a staff. Jesus has the power of the Almighty God. And when one of us is attacked or hurt, and God says that He is going to pay back, and He is going to do it justly, you could trust that, then that is exactly what He's going to do. In my own experience, I have seen God's vengeance upon my enemies, and I found myself crying, weeping in prayer, that God would show mercy on these people, that God would relent on these people, because His vengeance was far greater than anything I ever imagined doing to them. And believe me, I have been hurt by people, and I have been subject to negative thoughts of payback myself. I'm guilty of this. I'm not perfect. I will not stand here in front of this mic and pretend that I am a perfect Christian, because I am not. When I get hurt, all kinds of thoughts and negative emotions flood me. But I know that if I don't go to God with it immediately, those same thoughts and those same emotions will overcome me. And they will overflow, not just through me, but up and out of me. And so I have to take it to God. I have to take it to God so that He can calm my spirit. You know, God says if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us, and that we will have the peace that surpasses all understanding when we lay our problems at God's feet. But you know what stops us from doing that? Unbelief. Unbelief stops the Christian from coming to God with their problems, especially problems that are just really hard to grasp emotionally. Hard to control emotions are hard to bring to God, because you want to act on them and you want to handle it your way now. You don't want to wait on God because of the way you're feeling now. And so we try to take matters into our own hand and try to rush it along, not realizing that we could be doing more damage to ourselves by acting on our own strength. But when we come to God, God will direct our paths. And I'm going to tell you something. The people that have come against me in my life, I never had to lift a finger towards them. God took care of it all. Now, does that mean that every person that's ever done me wrong, that God has paid back in a negative way? No. No. Sometimes I just had to forgive those people and move on, and I never heard from them again. So I have no idea what God did to deal with those people. But I will tell you this, and I hope this message gets across. Whatever it is that you're bringing to God, pray for mercy for those people. Pray for their salvation. Ask God to move into their lives and work His sanctification on them. That is so important. Because I'm going to tell you something. You might think it's crazy, to try to get somebody who's hurt you, no matter what it is, into the family of God. But I'm going to tell you, it's better to have them as a Christian brother or sister than it is to have them still living in the world, living out of the flesh, and dead in their sins. Because you got to understand that if they come to Jesus Christ, they're going to come alive in Christ. When they come to life in Christ, they're going to be a brother or sister to you. But if they stay dead in their sins, guess what? They have the potential to continue being your enemy. So one of the aspects of praying for your enemy is to get them into the family of God so that they are no longer a burden to you or to the rest of the world. But first and foremost, they have salvation through Jesus Christ, and they will be saved from their sins. And shouldn't they receive it freely, unconditionally? They don't deserve it, and neither did you. But isn't it fair, since you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your sins are completely paid for, that this individual gets the same gift from God? Nobody deserves Jesus Christ. God did it out of love. It wasn't earned, it was given by grace. And so we should be praying for all the people that have ever done us wrong and who are doing us wrong right now, that God will lead them, if they're not already there, into His family. And if they are there, well, then we're not talking about vengeance anymore. We're talking about chastising. If a fellow brother or sister has come up against you, rest assured that God chastises those who He loves, and He will take care of them one way or another. The most important part is that when you're dealing with a difficult person who has hurt you or who is in the act of hurting you, that you come in front of God and you ask God to deal with you on a one-on-one basis and leave that person to God to deal with, and He will do it.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
Thank you, Misha. And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.